It's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I told Randy Lunsford I was going to send him a big bill for Lunsford Brothers. I can't read the concrete. I was cold this morning. I came down to the studio. I was a little bit chilly. I said, I got to get on a long sleeve shirt. So I ran up and wouldn't you know it, I got one of Randy's shirts on. Randy's wearing the same thing. We didn't plan this together. So praise the name of the Lord. Feeling pretty good this morning. I got in, Michelle and I got in really late. Had the opportunity to speak last night at an event up in Medina County, Ohio, which is up northern part of Ohio, up getting closer to Cleveland, probably 40 minutes from Cleveland. Gary showed up. Linda showed up. Get my brain working there. We had a great crowd, and it was what's the name of that organization? Can you check out? You'd say, Spencer, I don't know. What are you talking about? What's the name of that organization? Well, we had it up yesterday. Faith and Freedom. I think maybe it's Faith and Freedom Group. That might be what it is. Up in Medina County. And folks, it was so daggone refreshing because it was a room of maybe 250, 300 people. I don't know exactly how many, but I didn't make a count. And they were all, are you kidding me? Ohio Freedom Fighters. Thank you. Ohio Freedom Fighters. They were all faith-based. In other words, the room was filled with Christians, not conservatives, not Republicans, but Christians. Christians who want to know how to fight the fight. We had the opportunity last night I had a chance to speak with them, do some Q&A. And I can't tell you how encouraged I am. What, honey? Freedom? Freedom Fighters. Thanks, sweetheart. Michelle went with me as well. They understand that we will not win this battle if we don't lead with Jesus first. Why are we so ashamed of the gospel? We Christians. Can I guess that's kind of a rhetorical question. Why are we so ashamed? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power. Now listen, the gospel's powerless if you're ashamed of it. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. What is the power? Is the gospel the power, or not being ashamed of the gospel the power? I think it's not being ashamed of the gospel that is the power. You can be filled from the top of your head to the soles of your feet with the gospel, and if you don't open your mouth and share it, it's powerless. And looked around that room last night of all those people that there. Yeah, I got a standing ovation when I said I couldn't believe it. I got a standing ovation when I said that every pastor who encouraged their flock to take the vaccine ought to be arrested. That room exploded, friends. It exploded, because just before I said that, I spoke about what we spoke about yesterday, your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit literally lives inside of us. And what are we doing? Putting garbage inside the house where the Holy Spirit lives. I prefaced it with that. And I would just encourage some of you to begin to ask that question to your pastor and to your pastor's friends. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Where does the Holy Spirit live? Christians, where does the Holy Spirit live? And I'm going to tell you, most Christians will not say inside you. Most of them will not say that. The body is the temple. The body, thank you, my wife, Ohio Freedom Fighters. She brought me a note. That's how much she loves me. Ohio Freedom Fighters. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God isn't out here somewhere. He's in here somewhere. And nobody, does anybody know the junk inside that jab? We think just about the aborted baby tissue. That's enough, isn't it? What else is in that thing? What other kind of garbage? A garbage disposal. You take your garbage disposal and you run all that stuff through your disposal and you throw it out on your floor. I don't know what happened to you. In my house, my wife would drag me out by the, she'd drag me out by something. I don't know what, I don't have any hair. She couldn't grab hold of my hair. Maybe my, she'd drag me out. So I took the garbage disposal and emptied it in the living room. And we don't think anything at all about putting stuff, unholy stuff into our temples.
Amen.
Because why? We don't realize the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Boy, that's really deep. In fact, a lot of what we did yesterday on the show, I thought was really, really deep. How about this Larry's favorite line? Jesus Christ himself in red letters says, I do not pray for the world. Folks, that's a mic drop, isn't it? Isn't that a mic drop? I don't pray for the world. And dare I say it, God so loved the world. You know what? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? That God so loved the world. Now, if God so loved the world, does that mean he loved the people in the world? Oh, this is, they're going, I'm Holy Spirit's tugging on me. I'm trying not to go there. Pull up John 3:16. Could you do that for me real quickly, Spencer? Boy, I didn't plan to do this. John 3:16. Because see, we read the Bible with a John 3. We read the Bible with a predetermined mindset. Those are the paradigms we have to break. We've all been trained in all kinds of religious gobbledygook, traditions of men. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, big cheese. And he came to Jesus by night and said, hey, Jesus, rabbi, teacher, we know that you're a teacher that comes from God, for no man can see this. This guy is like, he's like a conservative Republican. He's like a Christian Republican, Nicodemus is. All the Republicans are phony, but Nicodemus is kind of the real thing, and he wants to find out a little bit more. So he comes to him, of course, by night, so nobody would know it, right? He says, we know, hey, we get it, man. You're from God. Because nobody can do what you do except God be with him. And look what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. It's a kingdom. Can't see it. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time his mother's womb and be born? See, Nicodemus is stuck in a paradigm. He didn't get it. Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom because you're walking around in a flesh suit. And that which is flesh. I'm talking about spiritual stuff. Verse 6, scroll on down, Spence. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised I say it's got to be born again. Wind blows wherever it listens, and you hear the sound of it, but again, you can't tell where it comes. Where it goes, he said, dude, that's just the way the Spirit is. Nicodemus said, well, how can these things be? Jesus said, are you kidding me? You've been to church your whole life and you don't know these things? Jesus was astonished that he didn't know these things. Verily, I say unto you, we speak that what we know, and we testify what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. See, Nicodemus had a paradigm he couldn't get out of. He said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how do you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He said, no man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, he the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so I'll be lifted up. That's whosoever should believe in him should not perish, have everlasting life. For God so loved the people. For God so loved the people. Is that what it says? No, Larry, this is kind of conflicting, isn't it? Because Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. And he said, God loved the world. But why? God loved, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And for God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not people. No. He sent his son into the world to do what? Somebody help me. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he would do what? He would destroy the works of the devil. The Lord was redeeming the world, the entire world, back to him through his son. Does somebody think I'm preaching heresy, reading heresy? I'm just reading what the word said. For God didn't send his world in to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. People live in the world. But God's vision was more than just people. It was the redemption of the whole world. And he doesn't believe on me, he's not condemned. Or he that believes on me, not condemned. And he doesn't believe on me, he's already condemned. This is a condemnation, that the light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Wow, 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 wow. Neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest. When you come to the light, everybody, you don't hide your deeds, you want people to see your deeds. Come on, friends. When you're not in the light, you hide. When you're in the light, you let everybody see it. You open up all the drapes and let everybody come and look at your beautiful home, right? But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be manifested, that they are wrought in God. And these things came Jesus and his disciples in the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Go on down. So go to the last verse. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him. The Father loves the Son, he's given all things into his hand. And he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Hey, folks, listen to me. The love of God does not abide on the unsaved. Are you with me, Larry? The love of God does not abide on the unsaved, friends. It's very, very clear. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Boy, oh boy.
He provided a way for the love to go to
them. That's right.
But it doesn't go to them till they act according to his provision.
He's redeeming the world and using people to do it.
That word world is cosmos. Cosmos.
Mm. Amen. I don't know how I got on that, but I think it's critical that we understand this, that our mission here on earth is to bring the kingdom, folks. Bring God's kingdom here on. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the church on earth. Is that what it says? No, thy will be done on earth. Or actually it says in earth, meaning in the clay, right? In earth as it is in heaven. And boy, we don't get it. Church doesn't get it. Anyway, got a good show for you tomorrow. I got a real quick clip there. Pastor Shiram Hadian, put it at the 115 mark. He's going to join us tomorrow. Let me tell you the story about Pastor Shiram. I met him when I was down to Patriot Church down in one of those Tennessee cities, Knoxville.
That's awesome, Coach.
Yep. And he just went through the most unbelievable thing. His wife was pregnant and got COVID, or whatever that thing is. And he has a horror story of how he was treated in the hospital. This is just a little bit of a clip so you can get a feel for him. He's going to join us live tomorrow. Go ahead and just play a couple minutes of this, Spence. Hour 15, yep.
The little nasal swabs. I knew that I was going to be negative. I felt very confident because I'm pretty sure I had it back in May of this year. And now I'm with my wife. Now they tell me, again, in violation of their own policy, you're not allowed to leave the room. If you leave the room, I said, I have 5 kids at home. Nope, you can't leave the room. If you leave the room, you will not be allowed to be back in. So now I have to make a decision. Again, thank you, Lord, that our friend Kelly Knapp said, listen, my husband's home this week. I'll stay with the baby. You go do what you need to do.
Hang on.
But we were in that room.
So they rush his wife to the hospital because she's dire straits. He's got five kids at home. He goes into the hospital with her. They give him the test and all that kind of stuff. And then they won't let him leave. Or if you leave, you can't come back. It's a fascinating, fascinating story. This guy's a warrior. He's going to join us tomorrow. Okay, Spencer, you can go ahead and pull that down. I'm going to go somewhere, but before I go there, I want to get Myra in and then Dale and then Reggie. Come on in real quickly. Look at that. Put that back up there, Spencer. Hey, folks, is that something there? Is that something ever? And my daughter went out and got every one of those shirts say Big Sister as they brought their little brother home. That's the first family portrait of that part of our, is God unbelievably, huh? Look at that little dude with his shirt says little bro on it, looking directly in the camera. I don't know how they got that one to work. That was a God ordained moment. Come on in, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing? Good. I just want to read Psalm 91, chapter number 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for past and salt ministry. And I thank you for keeping us safe and for us to be able to have a venue to meet every morning, which is a blessing for all of us. And I give you praise and glory, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you then, Myra. God bless you, dear.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Myra.
Dale, come on in. Out of the mouths of babies and sucklings, right? Dale and then Reggie.
Amen, Coach. You know, when you started the show, you were talking about this, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Of course, he dwells in you. He'll come upon you, and he'll be with you. And, brother, let me tell you what, when you go into willful sin, let's talk about these pastors, this shot, this jab. When you go into willful sin, the Holy Spirit leaves you. David said in Psalms, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So to think that he can't be drawn from you, he can, brother. And when you, man, this thing dropped in my spirit. Man, this is, we know the nefariousness of what's inside of this thing. Something dropped in me instantly and called it witch's brew. Witch's brew.
Amen. Well, Dale, let me give fair warning before I bring Reggie in here. I see something going on. The anger against pastors is on the rise, folks. Pastors, I'm giving you a warning. If you're out there and you're listening to me, the people in your church know something's going on, and they are ticked off that you're not talking about it. Boy, did I see that last night.
Boom. Amen.
Huh? Pastor, I'm trying to help you out here. They're looking for guidance and their direction, and you taking a neutral position is an affront to Almighty God, and it's an affront to your people. I'm just giving you fair warning. At some point, this thing's going to rear its ugly head. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning, everyone. I have to glorify God, Coach, and this isn't me butt kissing you at all because I am not a butt kisser. But I have to tell you, the stuff that you speak about daily, Dennis and I have pillow talk at 5 a.m. and he doesn't get a choice on that because that's when the Holy Ghost speaks to me and I wake him up. We were praying and we were talking about exactly what you're talking about. So I want to lead you kind of where we were too. So it was Matthew 10. And I was telling him how much I lost when I came back to the Lord. And this came, I said, when you invite people into our home, like, you know, cause he came along slowly. I said, you want to conform to them when they're in our home, but we're not supposed to. I told him I lost everybody. Nobody wanted to hear about Christ. So the Lord, I had came out of my mouth and it's about, it's Matthew 10:32-34.
32-34?
Yeah.
Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him or her will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But whosoever shall deny me. By the way, folks, how do you deny him? Can denial be subtle? Can it be subtle? Oh, doesn't have to be blatant, does it? But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And think not that I've come to send peace on earth. Dudes, I didn't come to send peace. I came with a sword. Wow, Reggie, huh?
Yeah, well, so we were talking about this, and I said, when people come to our home, you know, secular, non-loving people, I said, they don't like, I'm not comfortable around them because I speak Jesus. I do. I can't help it. So we were talking about that, and you came in and started talking about that, and I was like, ah, but it was so intense and profound. So the other thing I wanted to tell you that I told him this morning, the Lord put on me is, I said, I don't understand how some people don't understand the Holy Spirit, right? And I said, Jesus announced him. Jesus announced the Holy Spirit. So why is he not such an integral part of our everyday? Before he left, he said, hey, I got to go because he's coming.
Well, he said, I got to go because he who was with you is going to be in you.
Yeah.
Right?
So why are we not understanding the Holy Spirit?
Because it's the same thing I said yesterday. The three parts of the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, ice, water, steam. They're all H2O, right? And we understand how those three things all operate differently. And so the steam is the H2O. The steam is the Holy Spirit. And oh my goodness, Lord help us. Hey, he said this. Think not that I came to send peace on earth. Why are we into peacemaking so much? The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. I didn't come to send peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Hey, Spencer, look a word up for me, will you? Verse Webster's 1836. For I came to set a variance. A variance. What's a variance, Spencer? In law, it's an alteration of something formerly laid in a writ, or a difference between a declaration and a writ. An alteration or a change of condition. A difference that produces dispute or controversy, disagreement, dissension, discord, and mere variance may become a war. Without a spirit of condensation, there will be an everlasting variance. So what did the scripture say? Go back to the scripture. I came not to bring peace, but I came to bring what? Conflict. A man at conflict against his father, and the daughter in conflict against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foe shall be they of his own household. And those of you who love your father or your mother or your children or whoever more than me is not worthy of me. And if you won't tell your children the truth because you're worrying about offending, you're not worthy of me. And he that loveth his son or daughter of more than me is not worthy of me. God, this is deep. This isn't friendship evangelism, is it? It's not going to fill your church. It just happens to be the truth. You can't see this on the screen. It's written in red. So even those red letter Christians, I got a problem with that. He said, he that loves his father or mother more than me, not worthy of me. You love your son and daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. And you better take up your cross and follow after me. Unless you take up your cross, follow after me, he's not worthy of me. And he that finds his life, he's going to lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake, he's going to find it. Wow. This is oh, this is so good, so deep. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, when I was in jail and the state of South Carolina sent word that if I didn't plead guilty and let them help me get a job and everything, but if I didn't plead guilty, they were going to take the children away from Gail and put them in foster care because she wasn't able to take care of them properly. That verse was where I was reading when the lieutenant came in to give me that message. Wow. And I said, Lieutenant, and I says, if anything happens to my children because of this, I says, it's on the blood. It's on the hand, the blood, their blood and their outcome is on the hand of whoever made this decision because I'm sticking with Jesus.
Amen, Larry. Randy.
Coach, what we're seeing now is people that are willing to pick up the sword and speak the truth, live the truth, walk in the truth. And when we do, Coach, we're people of peace, but that sword divides. It divides. It says that you don't want to be part of this. You divide yourself from it. So
that's right.
It isn't really us. We just carry them when we speak, but we got to speak the truth. We got to drop the hammer. We got to have to drop that sword and let it be what it is. And we're finally doing that, Coach. And that's why people pull away from us and don't want to hear the truth. They're not fighting us. They're fighting the word, the truth.
Amen.
Amen, Randy.
That's right. And remember this, the inversion of when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, there's only two. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second's like the first, you love your neighbor as yourself. And we have inverted them. We love our neighbor more than we love our Lord. Our loyalty is to our friends and family. We don't want to offend them, so we don't speak the truth. And in doing so, we deny the Lord. Do you see that, friends? There's only two commandments. Love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And if you do that, there's anything left for your family and friends. Now, he doesn't say don't love your family and friends. He says your loyalty is first and foremost to me. And if a conflict comes in your family, you're going to have to choose an opinion. Are you going to offend your children or are you going to offend me? Because you can't please both of us. Right? That's what this whole thing it's about. It's not that you don't love your children. Of course you love your children. But I'm duty bound by my faith to speak the truth. I got to tell them the truth. And what's the promise? I'm probably going to lose some family members over it. Right? How sad to think those of your own household are your enemies. Anybody got any enemies in their household? Oh, boy. Now, I look extended family, right? Brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces. Man, I got a whole tribe against me. That's all right. I love them. But I love the Lord more, and I'm going to continue to tell them the truth. By the way, I had an unbelievable time in that school yesterday. I wish I could have filmed that school yesterday, that 2 hours I was in there, about 100 students. And here's what I know. It is so blatantly obvious to me. First truth, we've talked about that before, that these children, these students, these 18-year-old, 17, 18-year-old kids are so programmed that they are incapable of hearing the truth. You understand what I'm telling you? They're incapable of hearing the truth. They not only won't believe it, they're incapable of hearing it. And you know what happens to them? They get mad. Here's what really launched them yesterday. We talked about a lot of things. I openly share the gospel. It's really good. And I use this example. I said, if you guys were looking to, you want to get some chickens so you could have eggs. You want to start a little chicken farm. And you saw an internet advertisement that I sold chickens. And you came out to my house and you wanted to buy some chickens, some laying hens. You wanted to buy them. And you came up to me and I said, well, gee, you know, business has been really, really good. I'm totally out of laying hens. I'm totally out of them. Sorry. But I got some really good roosters over here and they lay eggs. I said, how many of you would buy those roosters from me? And they kind of hemmed and hawed, didn't know what to say. And finally, one of them got courage, says, I wouldn't buy that thing from you.
I said,
so why wouldn't you buy that rooster from me? And he said, because roosters don't lay eggs. Hey, Simon, get your own show, bud. Get your own show, You freak. Get your own show, dude. Get your own show. Nobody listened to you, Simon. I know he is. And I said, why wouldn't you buy it? They says, because roosters don't lay eggs. I said, yeah. And you think Bruce Jenner's a woman? That place about exploded. Because they've been programmed in transgenderism and blah, 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 blah. Folks, we are in a world. We're in a world of hurt. I'm just done. I got so much good stuff to share with you today. Come on in, Tony, real quickly.
Just real quick about the sword. I just wanted to mention Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
In other words, it cuts to the quick, doesn't it, Tony?
Yes, sir.
The truth cuts to the quick, boys. And if you know what was really fascinating? The last class, Randy, I wish you could have seen it. Because boys in particular, young Christian boys, they've been so beat up. They've been so beat up. And they ain't going to open their mouth come hell or high water. And after the after I was done yesterday, I was getting ready to leave, I was immediately encircled with about 9 young men. And you know what they were after? They were after whatever was coming out of me. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what it was, but boy, they wanted it. Oh, they wanted it. It's sad, isn't it? It's sad that that's the condition that we find ourselves in today in good old US of A. But that's where we are, man. That's where they are. Hey, let me, nobody's got their hand up. It's good. Let me move on. Because here's the focus of today's show. It's time we talked about it. Should we be celebrating Halloween? Spencer, pull up there that Forbes article. This struck me yesterday as Michelle and I were coming home last night from where we were way up there. Hey, Ken, thanks for coming, man. Thanks for showing up. Michelle and I were coming, and I couldn't believe how many houses we drove by that had Halloween decorations outside. I'm not talking about pumpkins and I'm talking about wicked, wicked spider webs and demons and witches. I couldn't believe it. You know, Halloween's big business. Look up on the screen. $8.8 billion is going to be spent on Halloween this year. $8.8 billion. And I wonder how many of that's being spent by Christians. And is it okay? Look, I don't want to be a legalist, okay? I got grandkids. I was discussing this last night with Michelle. Why do you want to rob from children the fun of trick-or-treating? Well, come on. It's fun. They go around. They dress up as a princess. Well, what does the church try to do? The church tries to Christianize Halloween, doesn't it? We take it and we give it another name. We call it Fall Festival or trunk or treat. We try to Christianize a pagan holiday.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if this is a decision y'all have to come down to, because we don't want to be so religious that we turn our kids off from the things of the Lord. But at the same time, do you understand the portals that are being opened? I got a real quick video. Reggie and our dear friend Stephanie can jump in if you want. Spencer, play this little video. It says, hey, Craig, I'm coming to you too. 10 reasons not to celebrate Halloween. 10 reasons not to celebrate it. Spencer, put it at about 1.5. I think we can get through it at that speed. Sorry, I should have given you a heads up. Here's 10 reasons not to celebrate Halloween.
Here are 10 reasons why you should never celebrate Halloween. This video was inspired by John Ramirez. You can watch his testimony in the link at the end of the video on how Jesus Christ saved his life from 25 years of practicing witchcraft. Now he lives to share his testimony and to expose the plans of the devil. Reason number one, Halloween is the devil's holiday. People mindlessly celebrate Halloween without realizing that this is the biggest day where witches and warlocks all around the world practice satanic ceremonies to bring a spiritual attack on the church and the community. Reason Amen. Number two, curses
freeze
behind
that.
The pumpkin
freeze
by
it.
The
freeze
door.
It. Freeze it. Reggie, is that true?
It is the highest feast day among a couple other that kind of equal, but yes, it is. It's not just the lower satanic levels. We talk in Luciferians. I won't go into
deal.
Detail, but yes.
It's a big deal to the dark side. Okay, go ahead. Next one.
The pumpkin represents the demon that controls the rivers, whose name is Oshun, type of Jezebel in Santeria. This pumpkin brings demons into your house when you put the pumpkin at your door on Halloween. You are giving the devil an entryway into your house and family.
Stop there, man. Whoa. What? You mean a pumpkin could be a charged object that opens up the atmosphere for demonic influence into your home? No, Reggie, that's not true, is it? That didn't, huh?
You say so, Coach.
Come on. It's just a pumpkin. Come on. Go ahead.
Reason number three, open doors through celebrating Halloween. The devil loves it when believers celebrate Halloween and get dressed up. No matter how much you read the Bible, he loves Christians who celebrate Halloween because it brings a 4-5 generational curse to your family. He knows that the next generation will celebrate Halloween as a ripple effect and attach the curse to other family members. Reason number four.
Freeze it. Folks, as Christian influence is going down in the world, why is the celebration of Halloween going through the roof? Halloween is the second most financially powerful day next to Christmas. Halloween is second, right? So what did she just say there? We pass it down to generation. Why do I celebrate Halloween? Because my mom put a mask on me, right? Why do my children celebrate Halloween? Because I put a mask on them. Why are my grandkids celebrating Halloween? Because my kids, well, I put a mask on them. 4 or 5, see it? Huh? Oh, this, yes, sir. Number four, go ahead.
Not a substitution for Halloween. Churches celebrate Halloween or harvest. You bring a curse to the church and upon the children of the church when you substitute this holiday. Why create a substitution for this demonic holiday? If you celebrate Harvest Festival, you celebrate Halloween. We feel like we must entertain people to keep them in the church or to have them come back, but we don't. We must bring the cross and God will do the rest. Reason number five, the delusions behind costumes. This is one of the biggest illusions to the church. Devil changed Adam and Eve's identity when they were in the garden. When Christians put on a costume of something they're not, they open themselves up to a demonic attack. Your identity has changed. The devil is the biggest identity theft. He tried to make Jesus question his own identity when he tempted him. In Matthew chapter 4, it says, if you're really the Son of God. Many Christians walk around without an identity to what God has called them to be. They don't know their purpose, but they sure do know how to celebrate Halloween. Reason number six.
Freeze. And now they're telling you to wear a mask. Huh? Oh, yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Luciferians are telling you to wear a mask. Go ahead, Larry. Or Reggie. I looked at Reggie.
It's okay. I want to put out some buzzwords, and I want people to do their own research, and they have another meaning. Harvest, sweeties, sweets, tricks, or treats. Christians used to hide their children on this day. There's a reason.
Christians used to hide their children on this day. Wow.
Amen.
Reason number five, the delusion behind costumes. Go ahead.
Halloween. Reason number six. It's the opposite of Christ. Halloween is the opposite of Resurrection Sunday. The importance we have when we celebrate Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday is the same type of importance to devil worshippers when they celebrate Halloween. Reason number seven, November 1st is not about the saints. The day after Halloween is Saint Day, November 1st. They bring food offerings to dead relatives, but it is truly demonic. Reason number eight, it's betrayal to God. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. How can you call yourself blessed and saved while celebrating Halloween? For example, it's like saying a married couple says they love each other, but then they go off and commit adultery. Reason number nine, curses become active when Halloween begins. Curses start when they celebrate Halloween. The whole picture of Halloween is to bow down to the devil. The biggest witchcraft is done on Halloween. Coffins, bones, etc. Halloween is an abomination to God. When you create harvest or a Halloween party, carving pumpkins, putting up spider webs on windows, buying goblins, or any other demonic related object, you must repent. Cut off all those ties and close off those spiritual doors. Break the curses off your family and the next 3 to 4 generations in your family line in Jesus' name. Reason number 10, Halloween.
This is convicting. It ain't just getting dressed up and going trick-or-treating, folks.
Amen.
Go ahead. Halloween is a trap
set up by the devil. Halloween is a poison to believers and non-believers alike. Many people get killed, shot, and go missing on Halloween. Don't play with fire. If you play with fire, you'll burn your whole house down. The devil has a mastermind strategy on how to deceive people. Remember, he is the father of lies. The devil kills, steals, and destroys through these types of holidays and culturally encouraged traditions. It's a trap set up. The enemy's purpose is to keep you away from the cross. 1 Corinthians 10:20 says, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. The lies and the deception may appear harmless, good, or cool. But it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. These deceptions are the devil's way to send you to a place called hell. God has predestined us to spend eternity with him in heaven. It's time to repent. Time to make right with God. Life is not a game. When I stand before God in heaven on Judgment Day, your blood is off my hands because I told you what Halloween is all about. If you want to celebrate it, it's up to you. Whoever celebrates Halloween does not understand the curse that they are under. It's time to repent, break off those curses in the name of Jesus, and turn to the cross. You can check out John Ramirez's books called Out of the Devil's Cauldron.
All right. Let's throw it open here. Is this legalism? Is this legal? Come on, coach. It's harmless. My grandkids, they look so cute, and we dress them up as angels, and we dress them up as football players. Coach, we're not doing anything demonic. We're not celebrating the devil. Come on, coach. Come on. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, just want to let you know, a local radio station here in Mount Vernon yesterday, and this is hard to believe. Trick-or-treat on Saturday, they said, because I don't know which town it was here in Knox County, but one of the towns said, because of the rain Saturday, we are moving Halloween to Sunday. They're going to do trick or treat on Sunday.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Go ahead, Janine.
Well, there's a couple things in that video that were just a little underhanded. I mean, the video is really good on Halloween and being high satanic. But the two things that they said, they mentioned Good Friday. Where in the Word of God does it talk about Good Friday except for Catholicism? Mm-hmm. And then it mentioned Christmas. Christmas, actually, Christ wasn't born on Christmas. So that's got to be satanic, too. He was actually born, in, they say, in the fall of the year. So I'm just bringing up some things to think about.
No, well said. But see, that comes back to what we try to talk about here all the time. Excuse me. And that is... we teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Are we supposed to celebrate Good Friday? Where does that tradition come from, right? I think that's the point Janine's making. So we have a lot of paganism woven in and out of Christianity, folks. Even though it makes us uncomfortable to say so, that happens to be the truth. Teresa, come on in. Hello, Teresa. Okay, Randy. Sorry. Teresa, good. There you go. I got you. Yes, dear.
Okay. I quit doing jack-o'-lanterns years ago when I learned about this, but one year I carved a flag. I think it was after 9/11. I carved a flag into a pumpkin and put that out. Is that wrong, too?
Reggie? Can you take a pumpkin?
How do you justify using a pagan access route? I mean, that's the only way I can dumb it down. How do you justify it? Because you could put Jesus a cross on it. How do you justify that?
Because it's a pagan tradition. The idea of using, I got more stuff here. I don't know if I'm going to get to it. Okay, I'll try to explain that to you in a minute. Go ahead, Randy. Come on in. Hey, Spencer. While Randy's coming in. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. is Paul, he clearly taught on this, coach. It's very, very easy to follow and clear. This isn't your opinion and this isn't legalism. This is just factual truth. And it comes back to our temple, coach. It's about what we're putting in our temple, what we're allowing in our homes and stuff. And it's just what fellowship has light with darkness. What agreement has the temple of God with idols?
Mm-hmm.
There is no agreement, coach. There's no, we have to see this. Just keep on going.
Listen, folks, I'm convicted by it, right? I want my grandkids to have fun and go get candy. Come on. How many of you, after you went trick or treat and sat down and put all your candy on the table and counted all these, anybody do that, right? And what do they say? It's passed down to the next generation and the next generation. So I'm thinking, I want my grandkids to have fun doing that. That was fun. When I went out trick-or-treating, I wasn't doing anything demonic. I really wasn't. I do remember this when I was a teenager. We used to have an exercise that was called Halloweening. And what that meant was, mom and dad didn't know it, but my two brothers and I and our friends, we hit the town and we terrorized. We went around, we soaped windows, we threw corn on the porches. I remember one time we went out and got a pile of horse crap and put it in a bag and went to Lowell Anstein's house. He was the banker in town. We set the bag on fire and we rang the doorbell and we ran across the street and we watched Mr. Anstein come out and there's this thing burning. What did he do? Well, he stepped on it. He stepped on it to put it out, right? We laughed and we laughed. It was a kind of a time. It was a time when you were allowed to do devilish things, right? I didn't look at it that way. It was just fun. And this one night we were allowed to do bad stuff because it was Halloween.
And so these, hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I just want to say again, it's about the energy and the intent, people. Okay. Go back to the original intent on why they carved. They didn't start with pumpkins. They started with some other kind of like turnips or something at first, and then it went into pumpkins. Why did they carve faces into things? That's the whole tenet of energy. Your Amen. Energy, every action creates an energy. So even if you innocently, this is just my opinion based upon all the occult things that I did in my life and all of that. It's the intent. You're carving into a pumpkin because of, again, that tradition. And just because the object that you could carve a heart into the pumpkin, you can carve a cross into that pumpkin, but you're still carving into that pumpkin. And the tradition and the energy of carving into that pumpkin is for that holy day and a holy time. And it sure isn't Jesus's holy day and holy time. So you may only be giving lukewarm energy to Satan when you're doing it like that, but you're still not declaring any energy for Jesus or advancing the kingdom, if that makes sense.
Stop that, Stephanie. You know, you're convicting me. Spencer, pull up, it says Halloween. Pull that up there real quick, because somebody just asked me a question. This is a great website, by the way, History Channel. This is non-religious, right? You can put this in the chat if you want to. But Spencer, scroll clear on down to where it asks, clear on down, explains Halloween, the origins of it. And somebody just asked me about pumpkins. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Jack-o'-lantern. What was the jack-o'-lantern? Where did that come from? It says here, right there, Spencer. One of the rituals adopted from the Celts was pumpkin carving, which held religious significance. The jack-o'-lantern. Do you guys ever wonder why they called it the jack-o'-lantern? Why not the tom-o'-lantern? The jack-o'-lantern custom consists of placing fire, which imitates the good magic of the sun, inside a hollowed-out vegetable representing the harvest. Supe says, well, that's another guy who writes here, says it was done in hopes that good magic will help to preserve the harvested food through the dark half of the year till the next growing season could replenish the community's food. Later in Ireland and Scotland, people developed the custom of using similarly carved vegetable lanterns to scare off the mythical character Stingy Jack, who wandered the earth because the devil would not let him into hell. That's why they called it a jack-o'-lantern, because it scared away Stingy Jack. Similarly, the practice of trick-or-treating originates in the Celtic custom of giving tokens, bits of the harvest, to spirits wandering outside of houses on the evening of Samhain to placate them and prevent them from doing destructive things to the harvest. To the folks, this is unbelievable. Spencer, put these in the chat, if you will, Spencer. And then real quickly, I'm sorry, Reg, I'll get you in here. God, I'm running out of time. Hey, Spence, go up and click on Sham. I'd never heard of it before. Samhain. Samhain.
Samhain.
So you go to Samhain, and it explains it even more of the origins of where this thing came from. Play the video real quick up there, Spencer. It's only a minute.
We like to call these great and telling tales because they are. Halloween is a festival of the dying year. It is the evening before All Saints' Day, 1st of November. As the land begins to die, brown replaces green, the dead leaves blow off the trees, the crops are gathered in, or you're definitely out of luck. The creatures of the earth and the stone, the rabble of spirits rise out of the dying earth to make their presence felt. They have been kept down by the blossoming land of the previous months. Now it is the time for those who have been taken away to reassert their presence.
Wow, Stacy, come on in. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Stacy. Stacy's up. Shut that off, Spence. Man, I got to roll through. Go ahead, Stacy.
I was just going to say that the pumpkins I heard was a representation of the sacrificed kids, and that's those were representations of the heads of the kids. And well,
go ahead.
And, you know, you're talking about the candy. It's all cursed. So you're putting that cursed candy into your temple, and you're also giving power over to the enemy.
Yeah, but it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Yeah, come on in, Glenn or Gene. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say, I want to bring up even the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Do we pledge our allegiance to the flag more than to God? Because I stand up and I say, every time I stand up with everybody else. I say, Lord, I'm not putting this pledge over you. Amen. I'm still pledging it over you, even though I like the country you gave me. But are we putting our faith in that flag more than God?
Man, come, amen.
Question that's been in my mind.
Yes, we are. Come on in, Debbie, then Reggie. Debbie.
Here's the thing. It's kind of like a dilemma, if anybody has an idea. One of my friends, her grandson, was born on Halloween on October 31st. And the parents are divorced, so she doesn't have a whole lot of influence always on what goes on. But she spoke to me the other day and she said, I just hate the fact that his birthday celebration is on Halloween. And she's not sure what to do about that because the mother likes Halloween, of course, but anyway, I never thought of that issue until she brought that up of having, like, it could be anybody, but it happens to be her grandson.
Amen. Well, pass it on to the second, the third, and the fourth generations. What we're doing quickly, Reggie, then Clay.
I want to explain the trick-or-treating and the pumpkins again. So during this time, the pagans, the Luciferians would come into the villages and they would knock on doors and they would demand a sacrifice. And if the people did not give them the child, a sacrifice, they would put a bloody hexagram on their door. In return, when they did comply, they would give them the pumpkin with the light in it to protect them. They would promise them the protection.
It's like putting the blood over the doorpost and lintel, huh? The death angel would pass by. Clay, come on in.
If the flood began on Halloween, October 31st, then it took a little while for the water to come up and kill off everybody.
Yeah.
So they got the Day of the Dead in Mexico on November the 2nd, and they put all these altars out with food and wine and all this kind of stuff, with candles burning for these spirits, these disembodied spirits that are still going around. Yeah, there's a connection there.
Craig sent me a great video. I was going to play it. I haven't had time to play it. Rich.
Yeah, a couple comments. When I was watching these videos, you think about they look like quilting patterns on barns that the Amish do, and that's to ward off spirits. And then we watched that video, and the title of the video was what the Catholic Church, how to corrupted the Christians, you know, in this holiday. Why do people still even follow the Catholic faith?
That's a great question. Why does people follow the Baptist faith? I ask myself sometimes.
Exactly.
Traditions. We just follow traditions. Free by truth. Come on in. Then Dustin.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I had a question. I struggled with this Halloween for many years. We never celebrated it. One of the things I would do was try to get a group of kids together and pretend that one was the underground church and one was like, you know, the secret police, and you know, you would have to hide out and try to break the church and put them in prison and all. I don't know, like, just for something to do. I don't know if that's a good idea, or do you just stay in your house and fast and pray? That was my question. Anyhow, thanks.
whatever the Lord says unto you, that's what you do. I'd say, Dustin, come on in, and Jack.
For the lady with the birthday, I know for our children, we every Halloween now take them out to eat away from all that for the whatever the time is for people doing that crap. For Gene.
Oh, you don't let your kids have any fun, Dustin. Go ahead.
Oh, I know, Coach. And for Gene, the Pledge of Allegiance, 21-year vet, about halfway through my career, I stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance because I only pledged to the Lord. Amen. Now, I'll stand for my country, but I won't say it. Amen. And then for the biggest pushback I ever got for not celebrating Halloween and stop doing Christmas is the Catholics. I grew up Catholic, and they just do not understand why I will no longer do Halloween or drag a tree to the house.
Big booze party, most Catholics, huh? Big booze party on Halloween, baby. Come on. I was one, too. Come on, Jack, and then Jeff.
Oh, I was just going to make a smart comment that that all that Halloween candy is approved by Big Pharma because it's full of NutraSweet.
That's right. We ought to be giving them vitamins, right? Come on in, Jeff.
Those neurotoxins.
Yeah, hand out vitamins.
Coach, for anybody listening that maybe is thinking, but I should get rid of the Halloween stuff. 8 or 10 years ago, we were guilty of it. Mary Jane had so much Halloween stuff. I mean, everything in this house. Every room in the house was decorated. I couldn't get her to get rid of it. She just was like, no, I love it. I love it. I love it. She talked to Pastor Bill one day. I brought the topic up and he explained it to her. She come home and we trashed. I'm not exaggerating. It would probably fill a pickup truck with all the decorations, and it broke her heart to do it. She loved that stuff so much, but she trashed every bit of it. Gone.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, we're going to run over a little bit. Get Psalm 79 up. Psalm 79. Who's reading Psalm 79 for us today? Who's been assigned that one? Come on, let's keep reading these things through this season, right?
This is Gene. I took that one.
Okay, Gene, you're up, man. Can you see it?
Okay, I better look it up here right quick.
We got it up on the screen if you can see it.
Okay. Now, I'm not the best reader.
All right, go ahead.
I was wondering, today this president is going to go to this summit that he's going to, and he's going to bring back some more burdens for us to bear. Can we point this psalm to him? Am I wrong?
Yes, sir. Lord, we're praying this over Joe Biden and everybody associated with Joe Biden. Go ahead there.
Okay. Mm. Oh, God, the heathen are coming to the inheritance.
Mm.
The holy temple have they defiled.
They have
laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to the meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them.
Wow, that's coming again, boys. I hate to tell you that.
We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and desertion or
derision.
That word meant, but anyway, I was going to say that, but I forgot it.
That's all right, buddy. Don't worry.
To them that are round about us, how long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire?
Yes, Lord. Six.
Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen.
Yes, Lord.
Known thee. And upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name.
Yes, the Washington, D.C., the American government, Lord. You pour out your wrath upon them, Lord.
Amen. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place.
Man.
He's destroyed what God put him there for.
Amen.
Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us. For we are brought very low.
Yes.
Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake.
Hey, Gene, it's for his name. Lord, amen. Clear up your name. Defend your name, Lord.
Amen. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants.
Yes, Lord, revenge it, Lord.
Let the signing of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die.
Mm.
And render unto our neighbors sevenfold unto their bosom that reproach.
Yes, Lord, go get them.
There where they have reproached thee, O Lord.
Amen.
So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise.
Sick him, Lord. Sick him, Lord. Lord, amen. Sick Joe Biden, Lord. Sick that Luciferian government. Show yourself to be strong, Lord. Show yourself to be strong. Thank you. Thank you, Gene. Psalm number 79. Is that right? We just read 79. 80. No, 83. Psalm 83. Who's got 83? Anybody? Somebody does.
What about 70?
Didn't I read it?
I don't think so.
I thought I did yesterday.
Okay.
You got ready yesterday. 83. 83. Come on. Hey, we're on borrowed time here. Come on. Who's up? Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. Oh, I love the King James. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of America may be no more in remembrance. For they've consulted together with one, Psalm 2, they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and Hagarnans and Gebel and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines were the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also has joined with them. They have Halpin, the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, O Lord, and as to Sisera, and as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung. Do it to them, Lord. Turn them into dung, Lord. Make their names like Oreb and like Zeb. Yea, all the princes as Zebah and as Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in our possession. Let us seize America. Oh, my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the burn fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them, Lord, with thy tempest, and make them afraid of thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, are the Most High over all the earth. In Jesus' name. Wow!
Amen.
See you tomorrow.